Blog Talk Radio.
What's wrong with being an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Do you want to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Yeah, I think I'd like to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times.
Then grab it! Grab it!
Mary had a little lamb, it bleated white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you. Reese.
Hey, welcome back, folks. It's Friday. It's Reese on the radio. For those of us, you out there, happy Friday to you. Some of you, it's the end of the week. Some of you, it's the beginning. Some of you, just a regular old day. Anyway, we're back. And you should be prepared today for the 2-Minute Dance Party. One of my favorite bands when I was a kid. Last night put on a special show at Cafe Wa. It's too bad I didn't know about it because it was a secret party. No one seemed to know about it, but there apparently were some reporters there who thought to take some pictures of the event. But we'll talk about that later. We'll get into it. We'll do that probably somewhere in the like 9 o'clock hour. But I think more importantly is, I talked about this yesterday, the day before, especially yesterday, when there was a report out that Newt Gingrich had singled out black people when he was talking about welfare. That Newt Gingrich was some kind of racist talking about food stamps. And our good friend JC, producer JC, had said that Newt Gingrich should have tempered his words. Best way to put it, he should have tempered his words. You know, he should know that, you know, more white people are on welfare than black people are on welfare. And I looked at the numbers. And JC, you should come in on this part. Please, JC, if you're there, please chime in. I need to ask you what your stats were yesterday so to make sure that I get them accurate. You're there.
Okay, if I'm not mistaken, hello, everyone.
Yeah,
if I'm not mistaken, according to CBS News.
Right.
That's where I got them from. 48% of blacks and 59% of whites.
Well, no, see, that wouldn't make any sense. It would be 100%, so it had to be 52%. If it's 48% black, it's got to be 52% white. But
I'm almost certain it said 59, but I'm not sure where they got the number from.
But the number's got to be right. I mean, if it's 48%, it's got to be 52 on the other side, and that's true. But, see, here's the part that I wasn't paying attention to yesterday about those numbers, is that they said that 48% of the people who were on welfare were black, and 52% of them were white. And then at the bottom of that article that we read, and I repeated it, in fact, they waited until the bottom part of that, is that they said over 45 million people were on welfare, or on food stamps, pardon me. They said over 45 million people were on food stamps. So I looked at that number, and I said, so they're saying that just about half of those people are black. At 48%, that's almost half. So I looked at that number, and I said, 45 million? You cut that down the middle. What you got? You got 22 and a half million. So let's just cut off the other 2%. Let's just call it flat, you know, brass tacks, 22 million people. Right? It's got to be 22 million. So 22 million of those people are black on food stamps. Then I say this thing to seal the deal. How many African Americans are there in the country? 38 mil. So you're telling me that half the black population is on food stamps. That would be fair to say, wouldn't it? If the numbers don't lie, that would be fair to say. So singling out blacks I would suggest, even though Newt Gingrich didn't, but singling out blacks would be a significant thing to do considering those numbers. But you know what? Why don't we just let Newt say it for himself? Because, JC, I wanted you to hear this, because you suggested yesterday that he should have tempered the way that he spoke.
And especially maybe, running for president. Why not? Of course.
Running for president, there's a certain way that you should phrase things when you speak, so you're certain that you do not offend. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Okay, great. So I want you to hear, in Newt's own words, what it is that he said.
Now, there's no neighborhood I know of in America where if you went around and asked people, would you rather your children had food stamps or paychecks, you wouldn't end up with a majority saying they'd rather have a paycheck. And so I'm prepared, if the NAACP invites me, I'll go to their convention and talk about why the African-American community should demand paychecks and not be satisfied with food stamps.
So he began his statements by saying he could go to any neighborhood and ask people whether or not they'd pick food stamps over a paycheck, and more than likely they'd pick paychecks, and then he specifically targeted the NAACP and African Americans. Now, that being said, now I want you to hear how CBS, while interviewing Newt Gingrich, interviewing him, he's on the air with them, still tries to mince his words.
Mr. Speaker, we just spoke to Representative Tim Scott of South Carolina a few moments ago, who knows you well. He said your comments were preposterous. I think what particularly bothered people was when you said that African Americans are satisfied with food stamps. Did you...
Hold on. Did you hear that, JC?
That they're satisfied with food stamps.
She said that Newt Gingrich said that African Americans were satisfied with food stamps. Did he say that?
Not in that clip that we listened to.
Right.
Well, I wonder. I mean, is there any way we can get the whole speech?
No. The whole speech, he talks about food stamps. He only mentions African Americans in that bite that I played. That's the only time when he talks about, if he goes down to the NAACP, he will go there and he will ask African Americans tell African Americans that they want a paycheck more than they want food stamps. But she listen to what she says.
Mr. Speaker, we just spoke to Representative Tim Scott of South Carolina a few moments ago, who knows you well. He said your comments were preposterous. I think what particularly bothered people was when you said that African Americans are satisfied with food stamps. Did you misspeak?
I said they shouldn't be.
Okay.
I didn't say they were satisfied.
But the critique has been that
you just reversed what I said. That would be preposterous. No. I agree with Tim Scott, but you just reversed what I said.
But the critique has been that you seem to have singled out African Americans. The critique has been that you seem to single out African Americans and poor Americans, saying that poor children don't have a work ethic or that they should work as janitors.
Okay.
You've accused President Obama of trying to start a class war. Aren't you doing the same thing?
No. I'm doing just the opposite. I'm saying we should reach out to every American. I mean, you had to take that and take it totally out of context to distort it this much.
And she did. She flat out said that he said black people were satisfied with food stamps. He said
that. Clearly that's not something that he said in his statement.
It doesn't say in his statement, but CBS, in fact, when he catches her, she moves on to talk about other things. She can't even deal with the point that she just blatantly made a mistake. She tried to out-talk him because he chumped her because he knows. I never said that black people were satisfied with food stamps. He never said that they were satisfied. It's a complete distortion of his words. And that's the part that makes me angry, is you can't even discuss African-Americans on food stamps. You're not even allowed, and even in context of talking about the NAACP, the NAACP can revere itself as being an organization that cares for or caters to the African American community. Should I even suggest that in a comment or commentary in dealing with the NAACP, then I'm singling them out? And I think it's a horrible double standard. That's the part that I'm more agitated at the way CBS is trying to frame this as a racist.
Well, it's almost like they're trying to stick in a hornet's nest.
Right, exactly.
Straight
up. Again, as I said to you already, This is the beginning of the race war. This is how it's played. Regular news media going after Republicans, conservatives, and making them out to be racist. And anybody who's white, who opposes Barack Obama or opposes his policies and opposes anybody who's rooting for him, or in that case stumping for him, is going to be deemed as racist. Forget about his policies. Forget about who he is and what he does. It's always going to be about his race. And that's exactly what's going to happen.
Hey, look, it's ironic, because we had the same conversation back in September.
Yeah.
And when you said then, and you mentioned a race war, I said, well, Reese is off his rocker again. I don't know where he's going with this. I don't know, and in which direction he's going to turn. I have no clue.
Look, you have to hear it for yourself. The guy is talking with the NAACP. You tell me whether or not he says black people are satisfied with food.
Now, there's no neighborhood I know of in America where if you went around and asked people, would you rather your children had food stamps or paychecks, you wouldn't end up with a majority saying they'd rather have a paycheck. And so I'm prepared, if the NAACP invites me, I'll go to their convention and talk about why the African-American community should demand paychecks and not be satisfied with food stamps.
And not be satisfied with food stamps. In no way suggesting that they are satisfied. They should not be satisfied. In no way should they be satisfied with food stamps, which is exactly what, you know, again, like I said, this is what they do all the time. It's a lie. It's a running lie. It's a running joke amongst conservatives. If conservatives talk about black people in any way, about lifting themselves by their bootstraps, that they're nothing more than racist. It's typical. It's easy. It's disgusting. And I'm sick and tired of it. But for just twigs and berries, I got to play them again.
Mr. Speaker, we just spoke to Representative Tim Scott of South Carolina a few moments ago, who knows you well. He said your comments were preposterous. I think what particularly bothered people was when you said that African Americans are satisfied with food stamps. Did you misspeak?
I said they shouldn't be.
Okay.
I didn't say they were satisfied.
But the critique
has
been that you...
just reversed what I said. That would be preposterous.
No.
I agree with Tim Scott, but you just reversed what I said.
But the critique has been that you seem to single out African Americans and poor Americans, saying that poor children don't have a work ethic or that they should work as janitors.
Okay.
You've accused President Obama of trying to start a class war. Aren't you doing the same thing?
No, I'm doing just the opposite. I'm saying we should reach out to every American. I mean, you had to take that and take it totally out of context to distort it this much.
And let me say this part, because I think this is very, very important and very relevant to what she was trying to get at. Because when she lost the argument and she knew she was flat out caught in a lie, she immediately tries to overtalk him, and so then she tries to bring up other things, suggesting that Newt Gingrich was going after poor people and black people in this country, suggesting that children become janitors. Well, for starters, he didn't suggest that not only they should become janitors. And by the way, when is being a janitor been considered a bad job?
Because not in the neighborhood that I come from.
Okay, because first of all, janitors are union workers and they make more money than teachers.
They get paid well.
Yeah, exactly. So Newt Gingrich suggested that some of those children who don't have family members, who have a steady job, who are on food stamps or who are an adult and have not seen a steady work ethic, that in our schools we start teaching children jobs or learn a workforce where they can work around their school, where they would get paid. But what he was saying was that the child labor laws were preventing these children from getting involved in work when they were younger. Now, in other communities, children are allowed to work because they can work in those communities. You got a lot of these young kids working in pizzerias with their family members, working at apprentice shops with printing presses with their dads or their moms, whatever it is. But the African-American community don't get that kind of opportunity. So here was an opportunity to get those young children to do jobs around their school and to get paid for it and to learn a work ethic. That's one. So what did they turn it around to? Oh, Newt Gingrich said that little black kids and little black girls should be janitors because janitor is an offensive word. But forget about how much they get paid, though. And he also suggested that not only that, to give some of that union money that's going to the janitor's union and give it to those children so that they can earn some money. Maybe they can help out their families. But no, that's being construed as something racist. So, again...
Well, damn, I don't think I know a janitor who doesn't own his own home.
That's what I'm saying. You know, it was the reason why the word janitor was eventually changed to custodial engineer, because it has a little more prestige now. You know, it's not... Being a janitor is not a joke today. I'll always remember that movie, The Breakfast Club, and I know you're going to rag on me about that movie now, JC, as well. But when the janitor comes in and he says, "Oh, you think I'm some little peon in the high school?" He goes, "I'm the eyes and ears of this industry. I know what you got in your locker. I know what they say in the teacher's lounge. I know everything." And you know, the janitors are very, you know, janitor sees it, knows it all. You know, a lot of people don't know. That's the reason why they get paid. It's, you know, you may think he's a mop-up boy if you want. But this is another, again, classic case of New York and California elitism using words like custodians. I'm pretty sure there's a custodian right now just saying, "Hey, my job ain't bad. You know, who are you talking about?" So, anyway... But that's what it was. I just wanted to show an example, and I'm going to do it as often as possible, just another example of liberal press completely lying right out of their face to an ignorant audience, and a lot of them are, and I have no problem with calling that audience ignorant. If you don't like, they already know that they're appeasing a bunch of people who don't like Republicans or see them as racist, or see them as more interested in their money, but that's the way that liberal media operates. And CBS is a constant culprit of that behavior. I mean, what else can I tell you? But anyway, so we got plenty of other stuff that's coming up in the news. I want to talk about this polyamory story.
Oh, yeah.
And the number is 347-308-8701. If you've got an opinion. Now, look, I know plenty of guys, even myself, have thought about this in a very, very male, I guess it's from a male perspective.
No. An eighth grade locker room perspective.
Okay, maybe an eighth grade locker room perspective. I know a couple of grown men, even myself, that wouldn't look at this as a bad idea. But the question is whether or not this is becoming the new family. See, guys would probably like this, but I don't know whether or not they'd like it on the other end. So it's polyamory, the new family. We'll talk about that. And we'll talk about whether or not this is what the gay marriage... I guess the gay marriage phenomenon might be bringing forth, that anybody could be considered a family now if we can have two men and two women get married and start a family. We'll also talk about Van Halen, that's right. Van Halen was in New York City with David Lee Roth on stage at Cafe Y. I can't believe it.
Really?
Yes, they were. They were in New York City. They performed last night. I got some songs I want to play for my old childhood that I love by Van Halen. For me personally. And I want to get into one quick subject, and I'm probably going to get hell for this today, but I want your opinion on this, JC, because I don't think people have ever looked at, since we're going to be talking about polyamory today, or polyamorous people. We're going to talk about homosexuality, but I want you to look at this from the most important sex organ, and that is the brain, and find out whether or not you agree, or if anyone else out there disagrees or agrees, numbers 347-308-8701, that homosexuality is no different than a guy who likes and will only have sex with midgets. Now, Gip, you have to think about that.
What?
No. I know
wait
you think
a minute,
I'm
wait, 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 wait.
You
wait,
have
wait,
to
wait,
think
wait.
About what I'm saying here. See, I'm just teasing it. I just
repeat
want you to know.
That.
Okay, I'm saying that I want you to think about what I'm going to say, and I want you to think about the largest sex organ in the body. Now, those of you who are wise know what organ I'm talking about. But I'm saying, if you consider the most important and the largest sex organ in the body, I want you to tell me if you agree or disagree that having sex, if you're a man having sex with another man, or if you're a woman and want to have sex with another woman, if it's any different from a guy who prefers having sex with midget. I'm just asking. Trust me, you'll hear my entire point when we come back.
Listen.
We'll be right back. It's Reese on the Radio. Give us a call, 347-308-8701, or you can email me at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com and let me know what your opinion is. Okay, remember what I said. Is homosexuality any different from a guy who only has sex with midgets? If it's any different, I can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that the two are no different at all. I believe that they are 100% the same. 100%.
Listen, I'll drive this highway with you, but buddy, I'm looking for the nearest exit.
I don't expect anybody...
I don't know that I could do this with you.
I don't expect anybody to see it my way. Just trust me. You can drive behind me on the highway. Just follow me a little bit. Don't take the exit ramp. Just,
I don't even want to talk about driving behind you when it's
in
this whole subject.
I'm done. I'm in a lead car. Just follow me through this, my man. Don't take the off ramp just yet. Okay? We're crossing the border. We're almost there.
I won't move.
We'll be back at 3 Southern Radio.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dude Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said, because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on the Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
Welcome back. It's Reese on the Radio. And we're back. The number's 347-308-8701. Thank you for those of you who are out there listening. Enjoying the show as you do every day. And I really, really appreciate your support. So let me give you a background of how it is that I got this story. Someone had texted me something about this and asked me, have you ever heard of this stuff before? And I said to myself, no, what is this? This isn't even, I heard something close to it. Somebody called themselves pansexual once. And I read it somewhere and I looked it up. I was like, pansexual? Like, what the heck is that? And apparently it just pretty much means anything goes. That's what pansexuals are. But then I saw this. And I was, I can't say that I was baffled. What I can say was that I was a little, I don't know. I was disturbed, but then I had to wake up and go, well, you know what? If this were a guy, it'd be the norm. So check it out. You tell me what it is you think. It's about 2 minutes long. We'll break it down for you.
Teresa Greenan. Is in love with two men, and they're crazy about her.
You get something different from each of them.
Larry's a software developer, a musician, and nurturing. Scott's the creative type, a writer, and a born rebel.
I do love them. I love them both.
Teresa met Scott. They fell in love and moved in. Then Scott introduced Teresa to Larry. They fell in love and Larry moved in.
We're all heterosexual, so I have a romantic relationship with each of them separately.
And Teresa recently started dating a third man.
I don't feel sexual jealousy in that way.
And Larry and Scott date and sleep with other women.
Or when I see Larry and this new girlfriend of his kissing or hugging or lying in bed together, I just, you know, and he has a smile on his face and he beams with joy. I just think, you know, I love him. I want him to experience that joy. Why would I want to deny him that?
It is not in most people's capacity to love multiple people at the same time, much less all live together as a happy family. Relationship specialist and UW sociology professor Dr. Pepper Schwartz thinks the trio loves the security of their relationship but aren't madly in love. She insists most poly relationships don't last. She says too many emotions just get in the way. Most people want monogamy.
We like the the charge of getting to know a new person, the romance of a new relationship.
The trio says at first most people are shocked by their poly lifestyle. And ever since Teresa, an actor and budding filmmaker, started producing Family, a mini sitcom on the web loosely based on her lifestyle, she's been getting a lot of attention. Some of it, hate mail. And there were things like, you're just a slut.
Yeah, you're just a slut. So, there you have it. Polyamory. Apparently the new family. So, if you got the breakdown of this particular woman met a guy. The guy then introduced her to another guy. She started sleeping with the other guy. And then moved him in. So the three of them, two guys, one girl, three's company, share an apartment. She has a romantic relationship with both of them. She then is dating another man, and the two guys are both dating two other women. But in the home, this is the home that they live in, anybody at any time, or she, for that matter, at any time, she says one is the sensitive type, the other one's the rebel. If she wants to be with the sensitive guy one night, she'll go into bed and go make love to him while the other guy's sitting out watching the game. That's okay. Now, they're heterosexual. There's no hanky-panky with the guys. None of that's going on. It's just her, and I'm sorry to use this terminology, pretty much being tossed around. Well, and I guess she'll probably argue that she's being tossed around. She'll say she controls the situation. You know, when she wants to be with either guy, she's with them. And of course, you got one of the guys who says, no, you know, he doesn't get jealous. You know, he's probably one of the, he probably gives it the Snoop Dogg effect. It ain't no fun if my homies can't have none. That's probably his approach. And whatever. You know, to each his own. It ain't no fun if my homies can't have none. That's probably what it is. He's probably cool with that. So, all right, whatever. I don't know what to say. But see, I had when I saw this, I just went, okay, I know why they put this angle in it, because this is the woman who's being divided by the men. And, of course, that was just shocking odds. So if they had done it the other way, where it was the guy with two women, you know, forget about it. You didn't even have to show this story. You just go to some old Charlie Sheen tapes. That's pretty much what it is. You know, that's what Charlie Sheen had. This is nothing new. He had a polyamorous relationship. He had two broads, you know, in the bed. In fact, one of them said in the magazine that there was a second bed in the bedroom, that if Charlie wanted to make love to one of the girl could go to the other bed and sleep there. And she didn't have to be in bed with them if she didn't want to have sex that night. So apparently polyamorous has been around us for a little bit. So here's my question. 347-308-8701. Is it a weirder combo when it's two guys? Or is it just the norm when it's two girls? That's my question. And whether or not this is the norm. JC, what do you think?
It's a party. It's a party.
It appears to be a party. To me, I think it sounds exactly like a party. But what guy wouldn't want the polyamorous lifestyle? I think that they wouldn't want to be. I don't think that most guys would want to be
another guy.
Yeah, but see, that was the interesting part about this, was that, you know, Charlie Sheen did not say that he loved either one of those girls. He just said he liked being around them. They're goddesses, you know, whatever it was. He was marginalizing them to some degree, and he wasn't talking about how he was in love with anybody. But these people are talking about they're in love.
But we're just talking Charlie Sheen, goddesses. What is that, the new term for hooker?
Former porn star.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what they were. But he was trying to, of course, he was saying goddesses because he was trying to say something relative, saying, you know, she's a goddess in spite of the fact that she's a porn star. So I think that was his approach. But, you know, is this new? Can it be the new family? Can it survive? I don't think so. But I can see some people trying to push it.
I couldn't see that in the hood.
Really?
No.
You're saying you couldn't see it in the hood?
No way in hell.
See, I think it's harder for most men. See, okay, let's put it this way. And I'm going to be a little racial here.
Well, you know what? You know, I take that back. I take that back.
Oh, you can see this in the hood?
Well, back in my day, it was called running a train.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, never mind. Too graphic. Here's my point. Here's what I believe. And I think this is a racial aspect or a racial proponent makes sense here. I believe that this would be difficult to run or to have within a black or Latino household. On the other hand, it is. It would be impossible. First of all, two black men sharing one black girl, come on. Not going to happen.
I've seen it.
In the same house, living together?
I've seen it.
No, you haven't.
Who?
Is this the person you were talking about?
No.
You've seen that in a black... I don't see black men... And I'm being racist here. Black men are just more possessive. I don't see... Not that I'm saying white men aren't. I'm just saying that I can see this in a hippie lifestyle, very, very loosey-goosey kind of... progressive sort of lifestyle, you know, free love, you know, make love, not war. Don't put your heart, you know, don't put your mind into it. Just let it be about love. Like that kind of perspective, I don't see that being very prominent in the black and Latino way of life when it comes to sex.
No. Actually, I've seen a variation of it.
Please give me your variation. What's the variation?
Well, one woman, two men in the same house. However, the men didn't like each other.
Oh, me, you crazy? Right now, that should be on the 10 o'clock news.
Yeah, I've watched it. I've witnessed it. I grew up with it.
Oh.
Happened for about 2 years. Now, I because I have family that's listening, and I'm talking about a family member.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So the two guys didn't like each other. Now, did they ever come to fisticuffs?
Well, over the chores.
What?
Dude, I kid you not. I kid you not.
Wait.
Yes, over chores.
Okay, that's funny.
We should have had this conversation. Listen, if I thought about it, we should have had the conversation off the air. But, yeah.
This sounds really.
One's
really...
in the bedroom. One's in the bedroom. One's on the couch. And one was responsible for cutting the grass. The other one did dishes and cooked and mopped. And when one hadn't done his job fast enough or efficient enough for the other, they'd usually get into it.
So here's my question. So, and I know I'm treading water here. So. Forgive me if I ask. So, how did the intimacy work?
I haven't a clue how the intimacy works.
Okay. Listen.
I wouldn't want to know how the intimacy works.
Okay. Is it too close to home to ask this?
Very close.
Okay. All right.
No, not mom. Come on. Mom is popular, but not that popular.
I wasn't suggesting. I'm just wondering.
The reason why I'm asking
is because I'm saying if there's an arrangement, you said one was it one guy was on the couch and one guy slept in the bedroom?
Yes.
So obviously that meant that one guy slept in the bedroom with the female.
Right.
So,
but he was a trucker.
Okay.
He was a trucker.
So he wasn't
home.
He'd
go on a road for 2 or 3 days at a time.
Oh, so then backdoor guy, he'd be in the bedroom then, and he's handling business. I hate to use that terminology.
yeah.
Okay. But am I out of my mind? Because, all right, fine. There's one couple, but I don't think that I could ever see two guys living in a house sharing one girl in the black community. I damn sure don't see it in the Latino community. The Spanish community is not having it. Okay?
I mean, you think so?
But listen to me. When I say that, I'll never forget when I went to the Puerto Rican Day Parade. I went to the Puerto Rican Day Parade. I was looking at a girl on a float. And every Puerto Rican guy was looking at me like, how dare me stare at their women? Like, that's how possessive they are. I mean, they are possessive. Latin men are just like that. They're possessive.
You know what? I'm going to back out of this one gently. Because, I'm straight from the hood.
Well,
the things that I've seen.
I couldn't imagine anybody wanting to be part of this. I know guys who are dying to live this kind of lifestyle, but to be honest with you, I couldn't dream of it. Too much headache, man. I mean, I know what it's like when one girl gets on a guy's nerve. I can't deal with two. Imagine you get them both at the same time in a bad place. I wish that I could get a girl to be, you know, if I could get two girls together that were always in a good mood, do you know where I would be? I'd be in fantasy land. That's where I would be.
We need to get a woman's opinion on this.
I think we should. Should we go to her?
Well, I could tell right now she's biting at her phone.
She is probably.
I know her phone is hot.
Let's bring her in. Mary's on the line. Mary, are you there? Hold on, let me put you back in. I apologize. Hey, Mary, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Do you have an opinion?
Oh, of course I have an opinion. Come on. So, if this situation was to ever arise, I think from a woman's perspective, to have two men would be the idea. For me, if I was to ever think about this craziness, because I probably never would, the ideal thing would be to have two men versus a man and another female, because no woman wants to share their man with another woman, or another man for that fact. But
so,
I don't see how this person, how this young lady is saying that there's love involved. I mean, I see this just purely being, like Daisy said, it's a party. This has to be just purely something physical, because how can you... I mean, at some point, somebody in a relationship has to feel unequivalent to the other.
Well, that's funny that you said that, because that's what, you know, she says this thing about, she says when she comes home and she sees her boyfriend in bed, lying on the bed with another woman, kissing and hugging, that makes her feel good because she's happy for him.
The chick is crazy.
She says, I love him. I want him to see him have that happiness. And I'm going to myself, yeah, weren't you giving that to him? So, I mean, he could just have all the happiness in the... I mean, okay, maybe that's kind of selfish for me to say that he shouldn't have as much happiness as he wants. But isn't that a little excessive?
Maybe she feels like she has to feel that way, since he, on the other hand, is allowing her to be with other men. So maybe she feels obligated to be that way, or she's, I mean, I don't know what is going through this chick's head, because it wouldn't be me.
Well,
somebody, there would be a physical altercation going on.
She says that she's happy with it. She says that she's comfortable with it, and it doesn't bother her one bit. I mean, she's doing TV webcasts about it. She, you know, seems to be working for them. They're all right with it. I don't know.
A big old party, but the majority of women, and there may be other women out there that see that, you know, that that's okay for. But, I mean, for me, not happening.
I'm
from the old school, and it ain't going down.
Yeah, like I said, I could see a million other different things or different people who can, you know, who would probably like this from a guy's perspective. Hey, like I said, I would like it from a guy's perspective. What guy wouldn't?
Yeah, but would you like it from a guy's perspective in the same situation that it is that her situation is, or
would you rather
be?
No.
Exactly. So you, from a man's perspective, if it's two women and you, then that's, I mean, fantasy land, like you said. Of course. But that ain't going down either. Ain't happening.
I think the scary part about all of that is that men see it from a perspective of how is it that they would be the benefactor of that scenario. And, of course, guys think they would be by having two girls. But, you know, what's also interesting is the way this woman says that, you know, she loves him, but it's okay for him to go out there and go find other women. That's okay, but I just know how men work. You know, if you're a guy and you're out there cheating on your girl, you can do that all day long when you think your girl is at home being faithful. You can cheat all day. Once you find out that she screwed around, you look at her like she's got three heads, even though you've been all over town.
No, but now this, but you know what? I've asked a lot of married men, a lot of men that are in relationships, and I think you and I have talked about this on a personal level before. A lot of men that I have asked, you know, why, if you cheat and you want to be with other women, you know, why do you stay in a, are you unhappy in your relationship? Why do you stay in a relationship with somebody that you're not 100% happy with? If that, you know, because obviously there's a reason why you're going out cheating.
Yeah,
and I think that for a lot of men, they can differentiate sex and love or feelings. And for a woman, for most women, because of our genetic makeup and possibly because of our society, the way society has brought us up and social norms and things to that nature, that women don't have the ability to do that. And maybe this young lady has the ability to do that.
Yeah, but you know what? The reason why it's harder for... Okay, so I'll give you a perfect example. Why is it that if a man is in a horrible relationship, why will he continue to cheat instead of just getting out of a relationship and starting something new? Here's why. There is a laziness factor to that. And I'll always believe this. Some men might disagree, but I think that there is a laziness part, and there's a complacency part. You don't really, really want to leave what it is that you already have because there's some complacency. And I think another small part is fear. It's like you kind of feel like that girl at home that you're cheating on is somewhat secure, but she's getting on your nerves, so you kind of want to dip and dabble and be a guy and be mysterious and be, you know, the player because that makes you feel good about yourself. But you can't break up with that girl because there's a sense of normalcy in your life that you're trying to keep. Because with the girl that you're on the side with, that's just adventure. That's all she is to you. She's adventure. She's danger. You know, she's promiscuity. She's sex. That's it. It's very, very simple. But with the person you have at home, there's normalcy. You know, you come home, you eat dinner, you watch TV, you go to the movies, you do whatever. You don't want to get rid of that to just have adventure girl. And that's, and call me crazy, but I think that's part of the reason why men find it harder to get rid of the woman that they're cheating on because of that. I mean, it's complacency.
But if adventure girl is giving you all of these things that you, I guess, are not getting at home. I don't know. It's to each person's individual situation. If Adventure Girl is giving you everything that you need, why can't Adventure Girl give you everything else that the chick at home is giving you?
Because, see, there's something.
Why can't you go?
No, because there's something about Adventure Girl, and we've already given her. We've already given her a pseudonym, right? We've already given her a claim, a name. Adventure,
I like that name.
Adventure Girl is exactly what she is. She's adventure. There's nothing conventional about her. There's nothing conventional about her. She's the wild child. She's the one that you could probably do. And when I say do all the freaky stuff with, I'm not just talking about in the bedroom, but she's the one that's probably going to push you to your limit. I'll give you an example, and I'm going to use two names that I probably shouldn't name. But when I was with my ex-girlfriend, Laura, I started fooling around with this girl named Brittany. Now, I went back and forth between these two girls often. Laura was stability. Brittany was adventure girl. Now, why was Brittany adventure girl? Because Laura and I were 27 or 26 when we started dating. I met Brittany when she was 19. I met her on her birthday. She was turning 20 years old. She was 20. She was young, vibrant. She looked like a little cheerleader. She had her hair in a high ponytail. She was jumping around, screaming my name. Reese, 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 you're the greatest. Reese, Reese. She was adventure girl. Now, Laura would never, ever, you know, Laura would nurture me. She nursed me when I'm sick, you know, wake me up so I can go to work, come home, we'd have dinner, watch our favorite shows on TV, answer Jeopardy questions together. You couldn't do that with Brittany. I'll never forget, I watched Jeopardy one time with Brittany. She looked at me, she said, what are you watching this crap for? I'm ready to go to the club. So, you know, it was, you know, I knew there was no normalcy with Adventure Girl. There's no conventional wit. There's no conventionalism with her. There's at all. Brittany is there to take you out of your humdrum mood and to get you out in the club, drunk, dancing all night, falling asleep in a pile of laundry. That's what she's there for.
And not only that, but your mani main.
Yeah.
One thing that Adventure Girl will do that your mani main don't do, and it's probably one of the reasons why men tend to stray out like that, is that Adventure Girl, she will stroke your ego.
That's what Adventure Girl is there to do, exactly. Now,
now, stroking egos. Talked about this as well, stroking egos. Why can't you just be by yourself until you find someone that can bring all of that to the table, because there's women out there.
No.
I'll
tell you what happens.
What
it happens every time. Mayor, it happens every time. There's a bottom line. This is the truth. See, again, there's some complacency on, you know, regular girls' front as well. In the beginning, everything that she did to keep you impressed, you know, dress nice for you and stroke your ego in the beginning, those things start to wane. They, you know, because
she
wants to become comfortable. Once she's got you, I got to stroke your ego no more. You're here. I don't have to tell you how great you are. You're here. You'd already know you're great. Keep it moving. You know,
that peacock stopped blowing those feathers.
Yeah, you put on a problem.
That's a problem, though, because any real woman should you can't just put on makeup when you get butterflies when you first start dating, and you put on makeup and you do your hair and you look nice and everything is always gravy and you're having a good time. You should be doing that throughout your entire relationship, and this
now,
is exactly why.
And this goes
both for men and women, and this is exactly why so many relationships don't work out, or they fail, or they end in people cheating.
And heartbreak, because, I mean, bottom line is, you begin your relationship fake when you do that. You don't normally do it 24/7 anyways.
Very, very true. Very, very 100%
it's so
true.
It's fake. It's unreal.
You nailed it on the head. But then again, you also bring right back into the factor, JC, is as you just said, it's all fake and it's unreal. This is why, and I'm going to play devil's advocate also. This is the reason why Adventure Girl can never, ever be a steady. Because what Adventure Girl is doing for you is all made up anyway. It's all an
right.
illusion. Everything
yeah,
she's
part
doing
of the
is an illusion. It's a whole part of the illusion. She's wild. She's crazy. But you know what happens when she gets home and she's by herself and she's coming off her hangover and the boy toy has left? She's sitting there sad, wondering what the heck she's going to do to distract herself from her lonely life anyway.
And then she decides she wants you, and you end up with boiled rabbits and pots.
Right, exactly. And until she decides that she wants you, and that's exactly what happens.
Now you say that after Adventure Girl coming off of her hangover and yada, 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 she's sitting at home sad and so on and so on. Well, you're doing the same thing. Well, not you. Personally, but the man is doing the same thing because you go home and you do whatever. What?
No, he's not. Let me tell you. See, this is what the benefit is. Now, see, if he's getting away with it, the benefit that the guy gets after leaving Adventure Girl, he gets to come home and be Clark Kent. You see the whole point? He gets
and be comfortable.
And be comfortable with his girl. He's already he's sown his wild oats. He's done everything he had to do with Adventure Girl. He got all that stress and that release out. And then he can come home, he relaxes, and he's with his love. He's with his real woman, and he cuddles with her. She puts her arm around him, and she hugs him, and she nurses him like a little boy who just came home from playing. That's what it's all about. And again, this is the reason why
okay, so
I'm not justifying it. I'm just telling you what it is.
So now here comes the question of how can you go out, have this grandiose time with Adventure Girl, and then come home like you're going home to your mother and not have a guilty conscience about it and just be cool with it. Oh, and I'm going to go home and I'm like Clark Kent. And, I mean, I don't even get it.
I'm telling you,
you'll never know it.
There's guilt, of course.
You know, I'm not
going to
say that I've never cheated. Don't get me wrong.
I appreciate your honesty.
Reese, you know me personally, so you know my tainted past when it comes to men, relationships.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is that sure, the reason why he can go home and he can do that is because sure he has guilt, but you know what? The rewards are too high. The reward outweighs the guilt. He'll eventually.
But what happens when Mrs. Kent finds out that Adventure Girl has been out with her man and Mrs. Kent says, you know what? You cheated on me, I'm out. I'm not staying.
That's when the action film becomes a horror story.
And you deny it. Until
exactly.
You're physically caught, you're not cheating.
That's exactly what happens.
No, my brother. I think other than that. No, you are totally wrong. Because
Mary, we're going to come back. Coming back with the top of the hour, we'll get into this. And then, like I said, I'm going to explain to you. Midgets, homosexuality.
Hey, guys, it's Reese on the radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the radio.
Yes, love hurts. It can hurt emotionally, but more important, it can also hurt you physically. It can hurt you in a way which nobody who owns a hot tub and lives in California can afford to be unaware of. Yes, I'm talking about California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. This painful, incurable disease can make an enjoyable soak in a hot tub with family, friends, and dog into a literally unforgettable experience. If you catch California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, not only will you walk around feeling like you're about to pass a twisted sardine can lid, you'll also smell like a pile of burning tractor tires. So don't jump out of the frying pan and into the hot tub, because if you get California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, it'll really burn your ass.
This has been a public service message brought to you by the Citizens Against CHTRG Foundation. California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. We're not going to take it sitting down.
Hello, Lois. This is Mike. I'm the personnel director here at your husband's work.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm fine. And how are you?
Fine.
Lois, are you sitting down?
Yes.
Well, I have some bad news.
What do you mean, bad news? Bob's okay, isn't he?
Well, actually, that's why I called to talk to you. It's about Bob, and I know that he's been an employee here for a very long time, but I'm afraid we're going to have to let Bob go.
What do you mean? Wait, that's not very fair. He's been very loyal to you.
Look, I can understand you feeling that way.
You don't understand. We just had a baby.
No, I understand that.
This is a very hard time to do this kind of a thing.
Yes, it is, but Bob has kind of forced our hand on this.
Why are you firing him?
We caught him doing his secretary on his office desk.
Oh, that son of a bitch.
Look, I know you're upset.
Upset is not the word. That stupid, rotten son of a bitch. I can't believe this.
He's on his way home right now, and he's going to need your support.
I'm going to change the locks on the door. I'm throwing his shit outside on the front lawn. He can just have it all. I'm not even going to be here when he gets back. And now, I don't feel so bad about his brother.
Lois. It's a joke. Your husband put us up. It's your birthday.
Happy birthday!
This is Stephen Hawking.
And when I'm not solving the mysteries of the world, I listen to Reese on the radio on dogtalkradio.com.
What's wrong with being an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Do you want to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Yeah, I think I'd like to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times. Then grab it! Grab it!
Mary had a little lamb, it was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, nada da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Reese.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio. The number is 347-608-8701. Again, 347-608-8701. Hit us up on the email at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. Don't forget to log on to reeseontheradio.com. We had a conversation yesterday with the infamous G Dep, rapper G Dep, who was with Bad Boy Records back in the late 90s, early 2000s, now in jail on murder charges, came forward after 18 years. He killed a young man in a botched robbery. I think it was an actual robbery. I don't think it actually was botched, but it was an actual robbery. A young man lost his life, was murdered 18 years ago. G. Dep came forward 18 years later and admitted to the crime after trying to do so twice. And he called into the show yesterday. He's probably going to call in later on tonight. He said he would just to, you know, holler, say hello. But if he does, we'll, you know, we'll see if we get him on again. Maybe he'll talk a little bit about his book, but we'll decide then. Got to talk about Van Halen today. They did a surprise appearance at Cafe Wa in the East West Village, which is a great spot. The acoustics in that place are amazing. I've seen cover bands in that place, and they've been amazing. So. I don't care how old Van Halen is. I know Eddie can still play, and I know David Lee Roth can still, you know, he can still belt them out. So I want to do a little dedication to them for the Friday 2-minute dance party. We'll get into some stuff as well. We were talking about this whole thing about the cheating and adventure girl and whatnot. We were getting into this whole polyamory thing we talked about. And But instead of going back into that, I want to bring this up because I teased it enough. So I want you to be prepared for what it is that I'm about to explain to you. Okay? Now, JC,
Is this the big breakdown?
Yes, this is the big breakdown. Okay?
Okay.
I said earlier that if you're thinking about the largest sex organ, and those who are educated understand what it is that I'm talking about, that you know that sex begins in the brain. It doesn't begin anywhere else. I don't care what it is that you think, it begins in the brain. You may see sex, you may see a pretty girl, you may see a nice body, you may see a breast, you may see other parts of the body, but your brain is what responds sexually. It is the largest sex organ. So how your body reacts is the synapse or the breakdown of your brain. Your brain matter. So I want you to think about that. It cannot be disputed. I don't care who the scientist is. They will all agree. The largest sex organ in your body is your brain. And what you find attractive, the reason why you eat with your right hand or write with your right hand or kick a ball with your left hand, why you can use both hands at the same time writing, why you suck your thumb as a child, like my nephew sucks on his two fingers, his index and his middle finger, is because the brain is responding to things that give you comfort, that give you joy, that give you pleasure. These things are appeasing to you. So
So what do you think homosexuality is? If you're attracted to another man and you're attracted to his form-fitting jeans and his tight muscle shirt and you're a guy, the only thing that's responding is your brain.
Wow.
Huh? Can you...
Wow. Preach.
Thank you. So your brain is telling you that you're gay because that's what your brain finds aesthetically pleasing. So you being a homosexual is no different than a man who likes having sex with midgets. Because that's what it is that stimulates his brain. So when people are running around trying to say that homosexuals are different in some sort of way, or the whole argument, I'm born this way, well, the same argument could be made for anybody who finds anything aesthetically pleasing. Need I say a horse or a mule or a goat? Is there a possibility that if I'm to accept what it is that you find aesthetically pleasing or sexually pleasing because your brain works a certain way, then I should have to consider everyone else's synapse for that matter? So if a man says, well, there's no gay gene, so there should be no gene for anything else. There's no heterosexual gene, is there? Is there a particle of the brain that says... In fact, scientists said, I'm almost certain this was in Boston where I read the story, but it may not have happened in Boston. I'm sure the study happened somewhere in Europe because that's where they do this freaky-dicky stuff anyway, when they do these searches about sex in the brain. But I'm certain this was in Boston. And JC, if you get a chance, I hope if you can look this up, I'd appreciate it. But I'm certain that they said that these scientists took sections of the brain of a lesbian woman and a gay man, and what they did was find out how their brains reacted when the lesbian woman saw an attractive woman and when the gay man saw an attractive man. Then they took a heterosexual man and a heterosexual woman and put the same things in front of them. Like for the man, the heterosexual man, they put the opposite sex in front of him. And for the woman, they put the opposite sex in front of her. And their brains reacted. When they found out, when they gathered all the data, they said that the heterosexual woman, the brain functions that went off in her brain were identical to that of the gay man. The same portion of the brain. And the same was for the lesbian woman and the heterosexual man. That the same section of the brain went off. Now, I think the big problem is that everybody's running around trying to search for something specific. They're all trying to find, is it something? Is there a genome? Is there a syntax? You know, not syntax, wrong word. You know what I mean? If there's something in the brain, is there a molecule? Is there a, you know, some sort of chemistry? You know, did the mother and father have weirdo sex? What happened? That's what they're wondering.
It's like they're looking for a defect.
Yeah, exactly. They're looking for... Exactly. And that's the problem, is that you're not looking for something that's broken. You're looking for something that is that our brain tells us what it is that we find aesthetically pleasing. What we find nice, what we find sensitive, what we find soft, what we find soothing, what gives us pleasure. There's a reason why some people can listen to hip-hop and some people can't listen to hip-hop, because their brain just doesn't function. Just that isn't soothing to me. There are some people who can listen to classical music or listen to opera. I can't stand opera. If you want to see me gouge out my eyes, make me sit through an opera.
That's a surprise.
No, seriously. I can't stand it because they don't speak English. And I don't like anybody that doesn't speak English.
Aida and Turandot's are my favorite.
Well, whatever. I don't like it. I don't. And it drives me up the wall when I listen to it. It's just like, no, just want no parts of it. But again, that's because my brain is not tuned to that. So wouldn't you think that it would be the same thing? Come on. I cannot wrap my head around a midget. If a midget walks into a room, I go nuts. Like, my spine turns to jelly because they freak me out. They're like people who respond oddly to clowns. I'm not saying the midgets are clowns, but you get my meaning. You know, those people who are afraid of clowns or pickles or anything or oranges. So whatever. I'm one of those people. I'm afraid of midgets. Okay? They kind of freak me out.
I forgot about you and your little people phobia.
No, yeah, exactly. I have a little people phobia. So, you know, this was the reason why I was always afraid of watching Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. The opening, you know, segment of Wizard of Oz never, ever happened. You know, as soon as, you know, she lands in Oz, the Lollipop Guild, not happening for me. But anyway, then you have to understand those people who are extremely attracted to midgets. I mean, to go a little far back, do you remember Hervé Villechaize, JC?
The plane was the plane.
The plane. You ever see his wife?
No.
His wife? Gorgeous.
Really? Blonde?
No. Dark-haired girl. But she was gorgeous. Very pretty. Very pretty woman. At least from what I remember when I was a kid. Because this is when I was a child. But she was very pretty. And she was a normal person. Anyway.
Normal.
She was a normal person. She, you know, she had regular height. But, you know, I was watching Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous or whatever it was, one of those, you know, Hollywood, you know, catch the actors at home TV shows. I'm almost certain it was Ryan Leach. Anyway, so is that his name? Robin Leach.
Robert Leach.
My apologies. Robin Leach. Leach is, you know.
Robin Leach.
So, welcome as we're at Hervé Villechaize's wonderful Hawaiian estate. And there was Hervé Villechaize on, like, you know, he was like on a half pony or something like that. And his wife was on a real horse.
Quarter horse.
Quarter horse. Yeah, he was on a quarter horse. She was on a real horse. But anyway, I'm saying to myself, she had to have some sort of attraction to sleep with. You know that looks, you know, that's not something any one of us would normally do.
Well, then it kind of adds to the old adage that you really can't help who you fall in love with.
Right, exactly. You can't help who you fall in love with. Bottom line. But again, that's it. It's all a part of the brain. Everything.
So what in God's name is the deal with homophobia? I don't get it.
Again, it's not. No, see, you're absolutely right. There's nothing about homophobia. There's nothing about homophobia. What
except
people
prejudice
are,
and hate.
No. Here's the homophobia. And I think this is the problem that anyone who is homophobic has. There is a slight possibility, because all of us know, we all know inside of ourselves that there is a piece of us that one day might find something appeasing that is remotely homosexual.
Really?
There has to be a fear of that. Has to be. We all do. You know, I've seen more guys flip out when I say a guy. Like, I'll be the first to tell you. If a guy is good looking, like, I don't know if you ever, did you watch NYPD Blue back in the day?
No.
Okay, well, there's an actor by the name of Henry Simmons. He was in a couple of those Madea movies. Real, real tall guy. He's got a firm chin. He looks like a big, big buck. Big buck.
What would you know? Okay, no, never mind. Go ahead.
No. His name is Henry Simmons. Look him up. He's a good-looking black guy. I mean, literally, you're ripped to the teeth. He's a good-looking guy. If I say that in front of my male friends, it was like, oh, you're crazy. Like, that guy's gorgeous. Guys look at me like, hey, what's all that about? I was like, what's wrong with me saying that guy? Girls say that about other girls all the time. She's gorgeous. She's beautiful. When guys say that about another guy, it's like, oh, is there something going on here I need to know? Yeah, there's nothing going on. He's a good-looking guy. I can acknowledge a good-looking guy. Why? Because I look at him, and as soon as I look at a guy like him, I want to get in the gym. It's like, yeah, I want to look like that guy. So if you're looking at a guy and you see him, he's looking all ripped, and then you all of a sudden you want to get ripped, oh, that means you found something aesthetically pleasing about him.
He's absolutely gorgeous.
That's right. Why would you want to be muscle-bound like other muscle-bound guys? Because you saw a muscle-bound guy, you thought it looked good, now you want to look like it too. Now, is that amorous? Is that sexual? Some men can't deal with that. because they're going, wow, why am I trying to aspire to that? Is there something about that that I found attractive or that I think is attractive? Oh, my God, I'm gay. That's the homophobia.
You know what's odd, too? What I find odd? Especially, like, in the hood. With all these labels, like the Rockaway and the Sean John and all that crap together like that, usually, like, fellas in the hood, they get dressed up and all that crap to go and hang out with one another. It's not as though they're hanging out to pick up chicks or hang or go out with a chick. They're dressing like that to basically please each other.
Right, exactly. Let me read an email I just got here just a minute ago. It says now if you blindfold a person so they can't see, and you touch them and they could respond sexually, not the brain saying I like the way you look. It was your sexual feeling. But see, let me respond to the email. And a good question, because then you're doing exactly the opposite of what I just said, or you're trying to make the opposite of what I just said. Everything that you do, and I just used the eyes earlier, but your feel, your smell, your taste are all functions of the brain. So if someone touches you a certain way and you're blindfolded and you like the way you're being touched, your body is responding through the brain.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's all a portion of the brain. So everything that you do, if you like your hand to be scratched or your hand to be rubbed and that turns you on. I know girls back in the days, I know girls who like that. They like to get hand massaged and they get turned on. So, trust me, it's a long story. But that's because her brain was reacting to that touch. And that's where she felt good. I knew women who like to get back massages. You give them a back massage, panties off in a heartbeat. That was their thing. I don't know why, but it was. And that's because their brain reacted to that way. Okay, I'm going to try not to be graphic here, but try this on for size. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know that there is no real sexual pleasure that a woman feels when she is performing the certain act.
Right.
But why is it that most women who perform that act on their mate always get aroused? That's the brain.
Okay.
All of that are functions of the brain. It's like even though this isn't giving you a particular pleasure, doing the act affects the brain, causing you to respond physically. You get my point?
Exactly.
Now, that's without me being, you know, too graphic. I don't want to be too sexually graphic because it's a tough subject to cover. But that's all I'm saying. And it's not an argument about homosexuality. It's an argument about what it is that sex is. People forget that sex is the brain. The primary function of it starts there, nowhere else. Nowhere else. If you tell me it starts anywhere else, you're wrong. And any one of them will try to tell you, it's the love that I feel in my heart. Shut up. Please shut up. Okay? You sound ridiculous. But my heart loves him. Look at him and his turquoise blouse and slippers. I love it. No, knock it off, knucklehead. It's your brain saying that you like to be touched by men. And it's your brain telling you, this is what turns you on. This is what drives you crazy. You love that feeling. You love that touch. Okay? You like hairy backs and bold broad shoulders. It's a part of who you are. Now feel with it. Okay? I love you just the same. Okay? I love you just the same. But the bottom line, that's what it is. And trying to make it something that it's not. And I think the separatists on the gay issue, and there are separatists. The separatists in the gay issues are trying in some sort of way to say that they are abhorrently different or flat out different from everyday people. They want you to acknowledge we're different, but we want to be treated equal. We're not like you, but treat us just like you. And that's that constant separation and wanting to be equal. Separation, but wanting to be equal. Truth is that if anybody wants to get over this hump, if you will, pardon the pun, is to deal with the fact that the reason why they're gay is the same reason why Billy likes Mitchell. Because that's what turns them on. And you're not different. Hey, I like redheads. You know? I like older women. You know? I Okay, I'm not going to tell anybody that one. Okay, but there are things that I like. But those things are the things that you like. And they're all a part of the brain. And that's just me. And I go off on a tear, but I'm telling you, bottom line, if anyone were to make that strong argument against these quote-unquote, you know, the gay lobby that's really, really trying. I mean, it's not so much about, there are homosexuals out there who really, really understand that, look, this is who they are. They're not trying to shove it down anybody's throat. Pardon the pun. They're not trying to do that. What they want to be is who it is that they are and live their life and not be judged. And you know what? I appreciate them and I don't judge you. I don't think that you should be able to get married. I think you should have a civil union. But that's another issue. See, civil union is different about than the gay issue, and I'll talk about that when we come back. I'll tell you why it is that you cannot have gay marriage and why today it's easy to pick on the Catholic Church and Christianity, which is a very, very important topic that's happening today. And there's a hypocrisy going on that I think needs to stop. And you see how these everything just segues everywhere. We went from polyamory to the gay mind to the gay rights of civil union. I don't know how we do it. And then we're going to end up talking about Van Halen. I don't know how we're doing it. We're amazing today. Number 347-308-8701. It's Reese on the Radio. We'll be right back. Stick around. We'll talk some more. Again, the gay lobby. Here's the one argument that no one seems to be making. The one argument no one seems to be making on why there should be civil union and not gay marriage. We'll talk about that when we come back. It's Reese on the Radio.
Hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi,
how
you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, Reese, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz. There's Dr. Phil. There's Dr. Drew. There's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem. You deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby, twinkle, twinkle.
It's Reese on the Radio. The number is 347-308-8701. Again, 347-308-8701. I know a lot of people out there are nervous about calling in, checking us out online. That's okay. I hope you enjoy yourself and you get a good laugh and get entertained. We're just working out the kinks the first week of the show. We haven't had a full week yet, but we're going to be there. We're going to get this thing grooving and moving. I've always got things to talk about, folks. Always. Always. I've got an opinion. That's just me. I live for the talk. That's why I said I'm not going to wait for terrestrial radio. I'm just going to start my own thing, even if I have to pay for it. Whatever's got to be done. Whatever's got to be done. But we're back. It's Reese on the Radio. Again, 347-308-8701. And thank you for tuning in. When we last left, we were talking about why I don't believe, and I don't think anybody can argue, homosexuality is no different than a guy who's interested in midgets or anybody else who has what we call like a sexual appetite for certain things. I mean, that's what your appetite is. This is what turns you on. This is what you enjoy. This is what gives you sexual or sensual pleasure. And that's the reason why you are. You are. You're no different than anybody else who has that physical need, sexual need, be it, to be with that person. It's not a defect. It's just who it is that you are. Now, it's a defect when you start pulling in, you know, children. Once you have that, then you're off the marker. But that being said. Then you're talking about something that's completely foul. Then it's nefarious, because then you're looking at somebody who wants to, that's talking about drawing harm to, if you get my meaning. Okay, because it's not reciprocal. Okay, so a midget is reciprocal. If she's midgets into you, you're into her, have at it. As long as she's of age, she's a little person, not a little person, if you get my meaning. If it's a man and you're a man and you guys are consensual, absolutely. That's what it is that both of you turn on. that are turned on by, that's what you enjoy. That's what you do. But that's the bottom line. Now, with all of that being said, I want people to pay attention to the whole marriage issue. And the marriage issue is very, very important because, as I just stated to you, that this is all normal. You know, consenting adults find each other physically attractive, they're sexual, you know, they want to be with each other. That's fine. All right. It's part of the brain function and what turns you on physically. No argument there. Now, the argument about marriage. Bottom line is this. Marriage is a tradition that came out of the church. The church has a right to keep its tradition the way that it has its tradition. To attack the Christian or Catholic religion about marriage between a man and a woman has nothing to do with anything but bullying. And it is taking down the great white, great powerful, great magical Oz. It's an opportunity for the little guy to take out the big guy. And how do you do it? You do it by using words like homophobe, sexist, you know, they're omnipotent, or, you know, whatever it is that you may use. But the argument is to shout them down, to take them down a notch, to diminish their character. You're taking something away from them because they have a tradition. Oh, but it's archaic. It's an archaic decision, but it's their way of life. That's what it is. It's their way of life. So you could bully the Catholic Church and you could bully Christianity. And here's why you can. Because what does Catholicism and Christianity teach us? Turn the other cheek. To be forgiving, to be kind. To not be volatile and attack. So the Christian Church and the Catholic Archdiocese, they could be attacked any way whatsoever. But did you ever notice that the gays are never, ever, ever shouting down Islamists about gay marriage? What would Islamists do in Iraq, Iran, Syria, Libya, Egypt, if they were to tell its government or its religious doctrine, the Quran, that they should accept homosexuality? We're queer. We're here. Get used to it. Every one of those sons of brain surgeons would have their heads cut off. And according to Sharia law, that's exactly what would happen. But, in America, where you can bully and you can demonize and demagogue, the Catholic faith gets treated like crap. And their traditions cannot be held dear. So this is what I mean, is that the homosexual community will never ever rail against Islamists or Allah. They can't, because they know that that religion is strong and pure, according to them. And you'll die if you defile it. They will cut your head off. They stone their women if she looks at another man the wrong way. Bury her up to her waist with her hands in the dirt and throw stones at her mug. That's how they get down. Now imagine you trying to scream the same volatile crap that you scream at Christianity and Catholicism in this country and try to do it to the Islamists. You wouldn't do it, and you can't do it. And guess what? Talk about polyamory, which we talked about earlier. Oh, they live that all day. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 wives. Heterosexuality is a way of life. So, again, it's because you can bully and demonize. Now, try this on for size. Now, how do I know that it's easy to bully and demonize and demagogue Christianity and Catholicism? Let me give you a little bit of history. Proposition 8 in California. And look this up for yourself. Proposition 8 was a law that they tried to pass during the presidential election in November. So when you were going out there to go fill out your ballot for President of the United States, they asked Californians to fill out Proposition 8, which was to make marriage legal in California. Now, the law did not pass because Californians overwhelmingly said no. Now, the gay community in San Francisco and wherever, who did they shout down? They shouted down everybody in the country for being homophobics and being anti-gay. But when this number came out, this stunned me. 70% of the African-American community voted no on Proposition 8. 70% of the African-American community voted against same-sex marriage. Now, if that's an overwhelming number for the African-American community. I ask this just like I asked about Islamists. Why is it that you never hear gay rights groups go after African-Americans for being opposed to gay marriage? Why? It's very simple. It's because unlike Catholics who will turn the other cheek and take the heat, blacks won't hear of it. They will shout you down. You call those kind of volatile names to the African-American community, the gay community will have a war they don't want. But yet the largest group, now you ask Americans, white Americans, only 52% disagree. Pardon me, no, I apologize. I have to say that. 52% agree with same-sex marriage. 52% of white Americans agree, only 48 disagree. 70% of the African-American community disagree, but you never ever see the gay community go after them. Why? That's a stunning number. And because it's different, it's because you can't. And don't get me wrong, gays and African-Americans have the same political agenda. Most of them are left-leaning and liberals. And that's understandably so. So you don't want to tick off, you know, your friends politically. You don't want to go after them. But if you wanted anybody to know that it was okay to be gay, you want your alliance to be a part of it, right? You know, you change the zeitgeist within the black community. If there's anybody you need to educate, is them. You're still trying to educate white America. You already got the majority, 52% over against 48. You're still trying to get more of the white community to agree with you, but the 70% of the African-American community are against it? Those are people who don't need reprogramming? So see, this is why I know it's a joke. See, gay marriage is about power. It's not about being married. It's about power. It's about taking down what gays consider a regime, Catholicism and Christianity. That's the war. It's a culture war. That's why it's wrong, because it isn't about anything. I say, you say you want the same rights as a married couple. Well, the law as that was proposed was a civil union where you had the same exact rights as a married couple. But because you are gay, we are calling it a civil union. But you want it to be called a marriage. We call that semantics where I come from. You can tell all your friends you're a married couple. But in the law, you're a civil union. You can say, that's my husband. Yes, that's my husband. That's my wife. Yes, that's my wife. You can do that all day. Legally, you call it a civil union. But you want to call it a marriage. Because of semantics. Because then you're taking down the powerful Catholicism. One up on the man. You get everything it is that you want, but you want that little piece. That's bullying. And that's the bottom. I mean, that's the bottom line. That's always what it's going to be about. Like it or not. Let me get some opinion in here. I want to thank Glenda from Hartford for checking in. Thank you, dear. I appreciate you giving me an opportunity. It makes me all warm and fuzzy inside. Now, Mary, you heard my long diatribe. You heard my long diatribe. Am I out of my mind or what?
First of all, the Catholic Church does enough of their own bullying. Okay? So, the Catholic Church is not perfect. What difference does it make whether it's called a civil union or marriage. I don't even understand.
That was, again, also my point.
If you have the same rights as a married couple, I mean, it's just a word.
Mm-hmm. Again, it's more about semantics than it is about anything else. Now, JC, do I make a lot of valid points? Because, again, all of those points I made are absolutely facts. They are all facts. The African-American community is against gay marriage, 70% of the population. They're winning the war with whites with 52%. Why are they still attacking white Americans on this subject and ignoring African-Americans? It makes no sense. Because, in essence, the reason why the law wasn't passed was because African-Americans voted against it. That was the swing.
But how was that the swing when the population of Caucasian people are higher than the population of
African-American people? Look at the numbers. Okay, let's say that we're taking 1 million – let's look at the numbers as they were. Let's say there are a million whites living in California, right? But there's only 25,000 blacks living in California. I mean 250,000 blacks living in California. Okay, can you hear me, hon?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. All right. So let's take that number. So let's say 52% of of the white vote yes on Proposition 8. So that's 520,000 votes, right? Now, 250,000 blacks are there, but 70% of 250,000 people say no. So that number, along with the 48%. That said no, that means it pushes them over the amount they need to say no. So what I'm saying is that the white vote, if it was only white people voting, gay marriage, Proposition 8 would have passed, right? Because it would have been 52%, 520,000 votes. But when the blacks were voting on this issue, they voted 70% of their population no. So if you add up those numbers, that's how you get that they were the swing vote.
Okay, well, now I'm curious as to why is 70% of the black population against it. What do you think the reason is?
Why do I think that 70% of the African American community do not accept gay marriage?
Yeah.
What, are you kidding me? That's because if there's any group that believes in the sanctity of marriage, the most important thing, the sanctity of marriage, and that marriage is between a man and a woman, is the African-American community, because they're the largest Christian community, with the exception of Latinos. I mean, they're a large Christian. 90% of African-Americans are Christians. And based on their Christian faith, they will never, ever accept gay marriage, because 90% of African-Americans are Christians. So there's no way they're going to accept that. So in California, in the white vote, they had 52% of the vote, but the African Americans voted overwhelmingly, 70% against it. So if I was, if I'm the gay lobby, I'm not going to go after white people who didn't vote for it. I'm going to ask the black community, hey, come on, man, we vote for the same party. Why wouldn't you support us? And the black community is going to go, hey, man, I'll vote for Barack Obama with you, but I ain't going to vote to sleep in the same bed with you. And that's the way the African-American community gets down on that issue.
I agree with you on that one. But, I mean, I'm curious as to how in the hell did the African-American community get, I don't want to say educated, that voter savvy in California than they are in anywhere else in the country.
Well, you know what it was? You have to think about California.
I mean, who educated them on
well,
that particular issue?
No. See, again, everybody in the African-American community who was part of the voting public, those people were churchgoers. A lot of that community are churchgoers. Now, if you go to church in California, and you go to church in a lot of these towns, especially in like Mississippi, Arkansas, Birmingham, Alabama is another big one. A lot of those churches get their parishioners very, very involved in the voting process. You know, they get, especially in Atlanta, that's a big circus. And churches, the churches in Georgia are a big deal. So those people go out and vote. But again, think about it. If most of the people who are going out to vote are a part of the Christian faith and go to vote based on, what they hear at church, There ain't no way in the world that you're going to come out of church praising God and go vote for gay marriage. Not in the black community. There's no way, because Reverend Do-Right, he ain't sitting on the pulpit and going, and I want you to go down there to the polls, and I want to make sure that Adam gets to marry Steve. He's not telling him that. It's not happening. You know, you heard some of those audio. You remember back in the days we played that audio where the reverend is caught on tape talking about his son wanting to go to the prom. He said, I can't go to, my son said he can't go to the prom because all the girls is either ugly or lesbian. So they're preaching this in black churches. So there's no way that the church community that goes down to vote, and predominantly most of them do, are going to vote for gay marriage. So if you want to re-educate, as the gay community claims they want to, if there are people who they want to re-educate, they would re-educate the black community. I'll give you another perfect example, JC. This is a humorous one. You ever notice those PETA people never ever throw blood on the fur of gangster rappers?
Hell no.
Okay. You see my point? If you're a white girl walking down the street with a fur, Ricky Lake will throw paint on you or blood on you all day. But if you 50 Cent, Capone and Noriega, Busta Rhymes walking with a big giant fur, you know what?
Good night.
Suge Knight, PETA's going to walk up to you and they're going to say, I'm sorry, we're with PETA. Can I get your autograph?
Yeah, someone they can really bully on. Yeah, you're right.
Yes, you know, they'll only bully the people who they can. They're not going to bully people they can't.
But why can you only bully? First of all, it's such a stigma, I guess I want to say it is. Why do people feel like they can't speak up to certain groups regarding their own rights? And why would the African-American community I want to watch what I say because I don't want to get any heat behind this, and I don't mean this, it's not or in any racist way or anything like that because I'm Caucasian, but why would anyone that ever had any history of being oppressed want to oppress someone else?
Well,
want to oppress another group of people?
Fair enough, but we're talking about what their religious doctrine is. And again, I made the big argument earlier is that, see, African Americans are involved.
We live in a free, we live in what is supposed to be a free world.
And I agree with you, but what I'm saying to you is that, see, African Americans are more Christian than they are Catholic. If you notice that the argument is against the archdiocese of the Catholic Church, I'll give you a perfect example. I'm going to take a break for a second. I'm going to come back. I'm going to mention something to you that is very, very evident in our culture today. Let me take this break. Just before I take the break, let me ask you both a question. Do you remember when Bill O'Reilly was on The View and Whoopi Goldberg and Joy Behar walked off the air because of something he said about Muslims?
Yes.
JC, do you remember that?
Vaguely.
Okay. Well, when we come back, okay, we'll take a short break, about two, three minutes, to come back. I'm going to ask you a question about that because I'm telling you, when I say the bullying on the Catholic faith is so easy, it's so easy. It's such hypocrisy, and I'll give you a perfect example. Using the example I just gave, Bill O'Reilly, Whoopi Goldberg, and Joy Behar walked off the air. They walked off the air because Bill O'Reilly said Muslims killed us on 9/11. I'll explain that when we come back. It's Reese on the Radio, 347-308-8701. Stick around. Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number is 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the Radio.
Ooh, love hurts.
Yes, love hurts.
It can hurt emotionally, but more important, it can also hurt you physically. It can hurt you in a way which nobody who owns a hot tub and lives in California can afford to be unaware of. Yes, I'm talking about California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. This painful, incurable disease can make an enjoyable soak in a hot tub with family, friends, and dog into a literally unforgettable experience. If you catch California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, not only will you walk around feeling like you're about to pass a twisted sardine can lid, you'll also smell like a pile of burning tractor tires. So don't jump out of the frying pan and into the hot tub, because if you get California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, it'll really burn your ass.
This has been a public service message brought to you by the Citizens Against CHTRG Foundation. California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. We're not going to take it sitting down.
Hello, Lois. This is Mike. I'm the personnel director here at your husband's work.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm fine. And how are you?
Fine.
Lois, are you sitting down?
Yes.
Well, I have some bad news.
What do you mean, bad news? Bob's okay, isn't he?
Well, actually, that's why I called to talk to you. It's about Bob, and I know that he's been an employee here for a very long time, but I'm afraid we're going to have to let Bob go.
What do you mean? Wait, that's not very fair. He's been very loyal to you.
Look, I can understand you feeling that way.
Feeling that way? You don't understand. We just had a baby.
No, I understand that.
This is a very hard time to do this kind of a thing.
Yes, it is, but Bob has kind of forced our hand on this.
Why are you firing him?
We caught him doing his secretary on his office desk.
Oh, that son of a bitch!
Look, I know you're upset.
Upset is not the word. That stupid, rotten son of a bitch, I can't believe this.
He's on his way home right now, and when he's going to need your support.
Support my ass! I'm going to change the locks on the door. I'm throwing his shit outside on the front lawn. He can just have it all. I'm not even going to be here when he gets back. And now, I don't feel so bad about his brother.
Lois. It's a joke. Your husband put us up. It's your birthday. Happy birthday!
This is Stephen Hawking, and when I'm not solving the mysteries of the world, I listen to Reese on the radio on DogTalkRadio.com.
It's Reese on the radio, and we're back. And as I talked earlier, that was wrong. As I was talking earlier, I was telling the guys that when Joy Behar and Whoopi Goldberg were on The View with Bill O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly was the guest on the show that day. He was talking about September 11th. And in his discussion on September 11th, he was talking about how Muslims killed us on 9/11. And when that happened, when he started to discuss how Muslims attacked us on 9/11, Whoopi Goldberg And Joy Behar were outraged that he said that. Muslims didn't attack us, they kept saying. Muslims didn't attack us. Muslims said, what are you talking about? Muslims did attack us. Muslims flew planes into the Twin Towers, into the Pentagon. That's right. Crashed Flight 93. Well, they were subdued, but crashed in Flight 93. They hijacked four planes. Muslims did that. And they were outraged. How dare you say that about Muslims? Muslims didn't do that. It's not fair for you to say that. And they got up and they walked off the air. Now, what were they outraged about? Very simple. Bill O'Reilly saying that Muslims took down the towers on September 11th, flew a plane into the Pentagon and another plane that landed in Pennsylvania. By him suggesting that Muslims attacked us, that Bill O'Reilly was then saying that Muslims, all of them, were responsible for September 11th. He was blanketing an entire group for the acts of 12. And these two women were outraged that he would suggest the thing. That doesn't represent the entire Muslim community. So I ask one question, ladies and gentlemen. 10 years ago was when the Catholic sex scandal broke. where all of those boys were molested by Catholic priests. Isn't Catholicism completely across the board been excoriated because of that scandal? In fact, there are more jokes told about Catholic priests due to that scandal than I've ever heard referred to about Islam, Arabs, Islamists, or anything. That is a commonplace to talk about the Catholic Church and molesting the little boys. There's a joke that I remember, I still hear it, in fact I've been hearing it for years. The boat's sinking, and it's an entire group of young men who are part of the monastery or whatever, or about to become priests, or their altar boys, whatever the case may be, and the ship is going down, and there's a rabbi and a priest or whatever it is. I can't even tell the joke. I'm sorry, it's just too offensive. I can't tell the joke. I'll tell it privately someday. Maybe I'll write it to you. The number is 347-308-8701. But see, if you look at the news media today, they attack the Catholic Church straight across the board. Straight across the board. The sex scandal, the entire archdiocese, they went all the way up to the Pope. The Pope is responsible. Pope needs to apologize. Pope. I don't see anybody screaming. I mean, come on. Now, what's the difference? They're both, I can't say equally bad. They're both pretty bad. Molesting a large group of little boys is pretty bad for priests to be doing. But 12 Muslims screaming Allahu Akbar, killing 3,000 people, is pretty high up there too. So, priests molesting little boys will rip apart the entire archdiocese. 12 Muslims kill 3,000, murder 3,000 people. Take down four planes, three buildings, two and a half buildings. But yet we are not allowed to say anything remotely about the Muslim faith. Nothing about the Quran. Nothing about their Bible. Can't say anything about it. We have to temper ourselves. We have to limit what it is that we say. That's what I'm talking about. Because Catholicism is easy to attack. It's permitted to attack Catholicism. This is the point I'm making.
I beg to differ with that one.
Go for it. We got about 2 minutes, but go ahead. We got three.
Okay, quickly. Now, when the planes took down the towers and the Pentagon and crashed in the field, most Muslim-speaking countries, the Arab countries, most of their leaders condemned the attack.
But they didn't condemn Muslims.
No. But they condemned the attack and stated that that's not what the Muslim faith is about.
Sure.
However, this has been going on in the Catholic Church, molesting little boys for years. It was more so a big "I told you so."
Wait. But did the Catholic Church condemn it or advocate?
And that's just it. They haven't. They try to cover it up and paying folks off.
No. But again, what's that got to do with people of the Catholic faith? I mean, do all Catholics pay the price for what the archdiocese said? I'm talking about the entire Catholic faith.
But that's why they're being attacked, and then why you're hearing more jokes about it. Of that very reason.
Then let me go back. I'll step back a little bit from my statement. Fine. You want to attach the hierarchy within the archdiocese? Absolutely fine. But the Catholic faith gets attacked? You know that's been attacked. In fact, the Catholic faith, people even went so far as to say that Catholicism lost credibility due to this scandal. And that's, in other words, to say that the practice lost some credibility. Then if I were to argue that Islam or Muslims lost some credibility after September 11th.
Yeah, but on the same token, at the very same time, a lot of Catholics were also defending the archdiocese as well.
But they were defending the archdiocese, even though, yes, there were cogs in the wheel that were corrupt and did a lot of horrible things. But what I'm saying is that Catholicism has been attacked in ways that would never be allowed for the Muslims to be attacked in this country. In fact, there have been more protections of Muslim faith, and there have been more violent
things said about people who say anything about Muslims, like calling them Islamophobic.
Since 9/11, you're right.
Calling people Islamophobics, even though, I mean, I could get into so much, but I got to go to the top of the hour. Jesus Christ. All right, top of the hour. It's Reset the Radio. We'll be right back.
Don't move.
Yeah, don't move. Don't go anywhere.
What's wrong with being an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Do you want to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Yeah, I think I'd like to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times.
Then grab it! Grab it!
Mary had a little lamb and sleep was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said nada da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Reese.
Hey, we're back. It's Reese on the Radio. I had my mic on that entire time. The number is 347-308-8701 if you want to listen in or if you want to call in and give your statement. So if you want to reach us on email, reach us at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. And please, please check out, when you can, reeseontheradio.com. You can check out there or here at Blog Talk Radio. You can check out the interview with G. Depp. If you don't want to listen to the entire show, and I'm not saying that you don't, if you don't want to listen to the entire show and you want to hear what G-Dep had to say, what I would suggest you do is to fast forward to 125 minutes of the broadcast. In fact, it starts right about there. 1 minute, 125 seconds. If you fast forward it there, you can hear the G-Dep interview from Rikers Island where he talks about a few things. Not much he could talk about. I kind of had to run roughshod over the whole interview. But you can hear that again. If you like, log on to www.reeseontheradio.com. I was talking about this, the archdiocese thing. Let me just say this last thing about it before I move on, because there's something else that I saw today in the news that I'm actually baffled by, and I had to write an angry comment when I saw it. The last thing I want to say about this is that, as JC pointed out, the Archdiocese absolutely did deserve some criticism. But I think that what happened after the fact was that not just the Archdiocese got criticism. I think the entire Catholic faith, Christianity for that matter, I think it was sort of turned on its ear, and I think a lot of people attacked the religion in a lot of ways that were, you know, I think Catholics were attacked. I watched an interview with Rick Santorum today, talking about Catholicism, and Rick Santorum was annoyed at the reporter for even bringing it up, because, you know, what I say about my Catholic faith is my Catholic faith. What people do as human beings and as men or as women, that's on them. And, you know, you demonize them, just like you want me to only demonize or demagogue the person who's committed the act on September 11th. Muhammad Atta, to hell with you. You know, no virgin for you. You know, you don't want me to excoriate the entire Muslim faith? Then fine, show the same respect to others, especially Catholicism. And I think the attacks on Catholicism or those who have Catholic faith has been unwarranted. And I think it's been, well, I'm not going to use the word unfair because I hate that word. I think what it's been is just mean-spirited. And I trying to attack it or people who believe in that faith is wrong. You don't want it for other groups. They should not get better protections than those who are Catholic. I think that's a joke. But I figured it's time. That's the last I want to say about that. But I needed to get into this story because I couldn't believe it when I saw it. And when these stories come up, you know, I have to always go back and go, there's no way this happened. But it did. Looking on Drudge Report, and I'm going to be upset now because I'm looking at it and I'm thinking that this article has gone, but Have you heard of this new independent, low-budget Negro film called Toddlers? Now, if you haven't, look it up on YouTube. It's a movie called Toddlers. Now, it's one of those Negro outfits made in the hood. It's hood-produced with hood acting and hood storylines. And what is the hood storyline about? It's a bunch of junior high school kids running around with guns shooting each other. This is how the Negro entertains himself, ladies and gentlemen. This is how the Negro pleases himself and entertains himself. He runs to the video store and he says, "Let me get that movie, Toddlers." That movie about young adolescent boys running around shooting and killing each other over drugs and stepping on each other's sneakers. You don't need a storyline here, folks. You don't need a storyline because there is none. I'm saddened by this for several reasons. Because, I mean, is there no other entertainment? Is there no other story in the hood? Is this the only story? Is this real? Is this true to life? Is this how they really get down in the hood? I'm trying to figure that out. Somebody please tell me. I watched the whole thing, and it's a little boy at the beginning of the video. You can watch it yourself on YouTube. Look it up. Just type in Toddlers. You'll see it. And what's great, they're so original. Not. One of the L's in Toddlers, and I'm not even going to tell you. You got to see it for yourself. It's ridiculous. But anyway, bottom line. So the little boy is in there crying with his braided hair, looking like his sister. What's that about? Are we not done with boys wearing braids? Are we not done with that yet? But anyway, little boy is a light-skinned boy, maybe Puerto Rican. I assume so. He's sitting on the bed crying with his sister. Apparently, daddy's away. Daddy got sent up the river. The little boy and the little girl, they've got no way to make ends meet. So the Puerto Rican long-haired boy decides it's time to go make his. And the next scene, I mean, I don't know how long it took in the trailer, but the boy went from crying with braids in his hair to walking around on a wife beater and the help tilted to the side. He's busting caps at other little kids. That's all I needed to see. That was it. It went from little boy looking like little girl crying to running through the streets in a wife beater with a tilted baseball cap, busting shots. That was the whole movie. There was no dialogue in the trailer. Watch the trailer. No dialogue, no talking, just kids turning around, shooting each other. That's the trailer. This is how the Negro entertains himself. That and Tyler Perry films. By the way, have you seen the trailer to Good Deeds? Have you seen it? The new Tyler Perry movie? It's Tyler Perry, Gabrielle Union, Thandie Newton. Have you seen the new trailer? You have to watch it. You have to watch it. It's Occupy Wall Street on parade. I swear to God it is. It's Occupy Wall Street on parade. Rich guy has a beautiful wife, played by Gabrielle Union. He's stuck in a rut, meets a homeless woman. Homeless woman with a little child. They have no place to live. He gives her a corporate key to the corporate apartments so her and her little baby have a place to stay. And he goes from being a stiffy suit
to a man purse wearing hip dude in sunglasses. Watch the trailer. Watch the trailer. And it's about nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. But this rich man finding his way by taking care of the poor. I saw one of the taglines is, what's the sense of having it all if you can't do, if you can't share it? That's what it was. What's the sense of having it all if you can't share it? It's sad that Occupy Wall Street won't be able to see this movie. Oh, sorry. Let me go back to what's his name? Yeah, Kim Kardashian. Is Kim Kardashian in Good Deeds? You gotta be kidding me. Is she, I have to see the trailer again. I didn't even see her in that movie. Is Kim Kardashian in Good Deeds? Now I have no way I'm watching it. This is a Kim Kardashian free zone, man. Kim Kardashian free zone. I just can't do it. I was going to check it out because I like Fandy Newton. I like her. And it amazes me how she can put on an American accent so well. Are you kidding me? JC, come on the phone. Are you telling me?
I loved her in Beloved.
Oh, Fandy Newton?
Loved her in Beloved.
Brilliant actress. Are you telling me that Kim Kardashian is in Good Deeds?
I read that somewhere.
Oh,
I'm double checking it now, but I did read it somewhere. That's the movie that she's filming for him.
Ugh, that's so funny. You know, I love that. I don't know if you saw the trailer to that movie, The Dictator, with Sacha Baron Cohen.
No.
Okay, well, Sacha Baron Cohen plays this clearly some Arab dictator in some country, and he's lying in bed with Megan Fox, and Megan Fox plays herself. And so for having sex with him, he lays out all of these things that apparently she requested. So there's like a gold watch, some diamonds, and then she picks up a ruby. And Megan Fox goes, what's this, a ruby? What do I look like, a Kardashian? And he says to her, a little bit, but a lot less hairy. Wow.
Wow. And you know, I stand corrected. Kim Kardashian is not in Good Deeds. Thank
God. Oh, thank goodness. Good, good, good. Okay, now I can watch it. I have to watch it.
I'm going to watch it anyways.
I'm not a big Tyler Perry fan.
You like those feel good Rocky moment movies.
Okay, which one was the one? Okay, Madea's Family Reunion. Although I hated the entire movie, I do have to admit, Cicely Tyson's monologue was brilliant.
Yeah.
That was the best part of that movie. And that's why I had to bring up this thing about toddlers. But did you see the trailer, by the way?
I watched that trailer. I'm disgusted.
How can you not
I'm be? Disgusted.
This is how the Negro entertains himself. Somebody turned around and said, I want to make a movie where it's just a bunch of little kids killing each other. And that's it. And, you know, forget about life dictating art or the other way around. How is this okay with anybody?
They kind of spend too much money on it, though.
Well, it's poorly produced, I know. But it's just, I'm still trying to figure out, like, who in the world said this was okay? Who said this was okay? And, you know, thank God it's going through YouTube, but I pray to God that no major film company is, you know, backing it in any way. But not so much that I don't want to see this, but I'm more concerned about whether or not they're going to be kids in the hood who can't wait to see it, because I hear it's junior high school kids in the film.
Get our young kids.
You know where I found the article, right?
Drudge.
Of course. There's no Drudge Report.
They would.
Yeah, you know, he gets a billion hits a year, and when he saw it, and I was stunned when I actually linked onto it to show you the interest. It had 9,000 hits on YouTube, which isn't a lot, but it's considerable for a small feature film in Harlem. Or a low-budget DVD. But did you see what they did with one of the L's in Toddlers?
With one of the home?
Okay, when you look at the word Toddlers.
Yeah.
Did you see what they did with one of the L's?
Yeah.
Desert Eagle?
Yeah.
I'm like, the Sopranos are probably going to call you up and go, knock it off. I mean...
You know who's behind that movie?
I don't know who this guy is, but who is M5?
I'm not sure who he is, but I know I read Ron Browns.
Ron Browns, and this is the guy who had that...
That hit song, Pop Champagne, with the auto-tune years ago.
But he wasn't the guy who had that Out the Window?
Yeah, that one too. Yeah. Jumping out of the window.
Jumping out the window. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So how is he engaged in this movie?
He's in the opening credits. M5 are together. Oh, I mean, they don't mention any of the stars.
I'm assuming they have some sort of bit role in the film.
I think he spent his residuals on it.
Well, look, the movie, the trailer is called Toddlers. It's on YouTube if you want to watch it. I think just watch it. And scariest part about it is that did you see the graphic blood?
Yeah, lots of it too.
Yeah, it's all over the place. Just kids killing kids.
It says in the closing graphic, kids rule the world.
Is that what it said?
Yeah. I'm just disgusted, dude.
You have to be disgusted. I'm disgusted for every kid.
That's a 2 minutes and 20 seconds of my life I will never get back.
Yeah, I know, but the scary part of it is it's like a car accident, man. I have to watch it again.
I just have to watch it again.
Because I'm stunned that this is something. I'm telling you, I would watch that. The opening credits would have made me go, no, we're done. And I've seen so many of these horrible movies. I've seen so many of them everywhere. My brother watches them. I mean, I watch them on Rikers. People wanting to watch these awful films. They're unreal. I saw Daddy Yankee in one of these movies. Filmed in Puerto Rico.
Really?
Yeah, Daddy Yankee. And it was all Spanish speaking. And we had subtitles in the whole nine yards, but Daddy Yankee in a hood film. If you like this genre, because Hollywood...
It has a state property feel to it.
Which, by the way, hold on. Now, you know what? I'm going to be a little naive here. I've never seen that film. Is that anything that... Like, you know, people talk about state property. I know more people have seen that film on video than I think any other hood film. Is it really all that is cracked up to be?
No, it's garbage.
It's really awful.
Did you see Toy Soldiers?
Who's in that? Who's in Toy Soldiers?
Kevin Hart. What's his name from Philly? The rapper.
The rapper from Philly? Black Thought?
Beanie Siegel. What? Who?
Beanie Siegel?
Yeah, I think he's in it as well. It's along the same lines.
I just don't...
Very low-budget Rockefeller films.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
One of Dame Dash projects.
And he just keeps putting them out. I don't know what's up with him. It's just awful. Just awful. I can't take it at all.
That's your crowd, buddy.
No, it's not.
That's your crowd.
Not my crowd. I'll never watch any one of those films. I wouldn't watch state property if you paid for me to fly to your town, pay for a cab, bought all my meals for the week that I was out there, and flew me back. I wouldn't do it for free. It's Reese on the Radio.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dude Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese. I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom. Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
All right, we're back. It's Reese on the Radio. Number's 347-308-8701. Welcome each and every one of you back. Last half hour of the show. And of course, you know, it's that day when we go into the Friday night dance party. Well, the Friday night, too, man, I'm going to call it the Friday night dance party now because I can't call it like the midday dance party or anything like that when I used to do it at noon. So now it's got to be the Friday night dance party. You're probably already out dancing anyway. So, I'm going to talk about one of the groups that I loved when I was a kid. I loved them. Probably for me because they were just, you know, I was young, really, really young. I just liked the sound. I didn't know I liked rock. I didn't know I was supposed to like rock music. Most of my friends would have told me in the neighborhood, what are you doing listening to that crap? But you can't deny good sound when you hear it. That's just who I am. It's just who I'll always be. JC, you're a big GNR fan, right? You're a Guns N' Roses fan.
Question for you, though.
Yeah, sure.
Hair or Roth?
Hair bands or rock bands?
No. Sammy Hagar or David Lee Roth?
Oh, dude, come on. Are you nuts? I don't have a Sammy Hagar song on this playlist.
Okay.
Not Sammy Hagar. I'll tell you the worst story ever about Sammy Hagar and why he'll never, ever be Van Halen. He'll always be Sammy Hagar with Van Halen. Here's why. Sammy Hagar had absolutely no chemistry on stage. He was a singer, but he had no chemistry. He had no exuberance. He had no fire in his belly. One show, I'll never forget the critic who wrote it in the Daily News, Sammy Hagar, Madison Square Garden, they said he was so, like, non-important to the whole show, he had to come out wearing a red sequins jacket. David Lee Roth had never had to do that. Now, you're only wearing red on stage because you think that you're not going to be picked out in the crowd. You know, like nobody's there. You're forcing people to look at you. And Sammy Hagar knew no one was looking at him. He had a great voice. Don't get me wrong. That song Right Now, great song. But nothing beats my man David Lee Roth. And I just had to play the song and introduce me to him. It's a great song. I don't care anybody.
Don't forget this one.
Okay, that's enough. Just for a second, okay? Just for a second. Now, that's the song that introduced me to the guy, okay? Within this, it's always my favorite. Oh, come on, Mary. I know you like black guys, but I know this is a white girl on you. So.
Yeah.
what, Mary? Mary, I know you're listening. I know there's a part of you that's just saying, okay, there's a little bit of that white girl coming out of me right now. This brings you back to your white girl days. Come on. You know, when you were really white. Like when Michael Jackson was really black. Okay. All right. Okay. I know I said it was only going to be 2 minutes, but I just got to play one more. I just have to. There's just no way I can't. Oh, this is bringing back memories. This is bringing back memories. Come on. Come on, Mary. Do you remember the white girl days? Come on, Mary. You remember when you were white? You know, before you got any soul in you, your white girl days, you remember this. Listen to those drums. They're speaking to you. They're calling you home, sweetheart. Oh, no. Woo! Okay, I couldn't let it go too far. I just wanted to get up the high for teacher. The number is 347-308-8701. Come on. Come on. I know, JC, I know you're feeling that. Come on, Mary. Come on, Mary. There's a little bit of white girl. There's some white girl left in you, isn't there?
Am I in?
Yes, you are.
Oh, my gosh. I've never even – the only song I've ever heard that you just played was the first song, Might As Well Jump. I never, ever listened to that music, never growing up. Never, ever.
Are you kidding me?
I
can almost imagine you over there doing a Dancing in the Dark dance from the Bruce Springsteen video.
Oh, me or Reese?
Reese.
No, first of all, I never did the Bruce Springsteen, Courtney Cox dance on stage scene. And don't ask me how I know that.
I can just see what they're doing it now.
Listen,
I can see him over there playing the air guitar.
That you can definitely see. That was happening. That was happening every time I hear Eddie play. It's not even about jealousy or even envy. It's just admiration. The guy can just play, just play, just play, just play. It's just amazing. I hear his son is Wolfgang is even more amazing. I'm sad that I couldn't even share that with you.
Probably bumping his head, he doesn't have his ex-wife, right?
Is Valerie Bertinelli? I mean, wow. Talk about getting better with age, huh?
Oh, wow. She is absolutely gorgeous.
But, you know, she kind of was one of those girls who you always knew was going to be beautiful. But, I mean, I'm not stunned as much as I am pleasantly surprised. You know what I mean?
What surprises me and stuns me, to borrow your phrases? What's the name? Who was her sister? What was the sister's name on that show?
Mackenzie Phillips.
Yeah.
She was actually, Mackenzie was hotter on the show than Valerie was.
You know, and that's what everybody said, that she was kind of like the sex symbol growing up. But let me ask you a weird question. Did you, speaking of Mackenzie Phillips, did you see her Oprah appearance?
Yeah.
How about you, Mary? Did you see that?
I didn't. I was just about to ask you, like, where is she now?
Well, she wrote a book talking about her father. Now, her father was one of the singers from the Mamas and the Papas,
right?
The old folk group back in the days. So she wrote this book, Mary, and in the book, she says that she had an active, consensual, sexual relationship with her father.
Oh, my God. Stop
and he
it
passed,
right now.
And he passed around polyamorously.
Stop the press.
Yeah. She openly talked about... Now, people were upset that she would say that about him after he died. But she was very open, very candid about her relationship with him. And in many ways said that she loved him. She loved the time that she spent with him. And she was, I mean, she said that was what she called getting daddy's attention.
How did I not ever hear this?
You have to look it up. It was on. Now, I didn't see the interview. I heard about it afterwards. But I was.
No, just, I watched the interview.
Did you?
What was Oprah's reaction?
Oh, you come on.
She was sort of saying, wow.
Oprah was very wow. Oprah didn't really, like, jump out of her skin behind it. Oprah was very, I think Oprah was very tough on her during that interview because she was, like, saying, like, how are we supposed to believe this? Like, even Oprah was finding it a little hard to believe that this had actually gone on. But was there anything revealing that I'm missing or anything that you thought was even more telling about that interview, JC?
Was there anything in reference to her relationship with her mother and whether her mother knew about it? And I mean,
I never heard anything about that, like whether or not her mother.
No,
knew.
And they really didn't get into that. I mean, she didn't spend a whole hour with Oprah, if I'm not mistaken, and I could be wrong.
I think you're right. I think there were several interviews or two interviews during that day.
Yeah, well, she split the hour between her and Tyler Perry.
That's right. You're absolutely
right.
What
I thought was a bigger story.
Right. Yeah, but it was...
Tyler Perry was a bigger story than Mackenzie
Phillips
having a sexual relationship with her father.
But because Mackenzie Phillips hasn't been in the public and, you know, Tyler Perry's a relevant story because he's a now, you know, versus then.
And he basically sat on stage with Oprah and cried and held hands and... Because he was sexually molested by his babysitter, who was a female.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. A lot of people have been talking about this. You know, if I don't know if you got a chance to look at the Penn State video that I put up on YouTube. But, you know, that is going to be, I think that story is going to be around for a while, not just Penn State, but Syracuse. There are going to be some other stories. I think right now there's going to be a large or a certain amount of stories where that kind of behavior is going to start coming out more and more and more and more and more. I think it's almost coming to the point where I think the media is attaching itself to more stories that come out about that.
Well,
but,
I think that a lot of this stuff has been going on for so long, for many, 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 I mean, years and years and years. But with the media, it's just so, they make it so accessible.
Well, I think the media in a lot of ways exacerbates the issue by not reporting it in an accurate way. And here's what I mean by that. I think there are more people afraid for their children to go outside and to play and to be a part of their neighborhood because parents believe that, you know, every block or every person who walks on a block is a sexual predator or somebody who's going to kidnap their kids. And I think it hurts children in the end. And I think the media has exacerbated that sort of that lexicon or that sort of that thought pattern into the American lifestyle. I think it's sad.
The media exacerbates a lot of things. I mean, but that's what they're in business for. That's their strategy. That's why
people...
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, should their strategy be to change the lifestyles of people? I don't think the news is supposed to do that. I don't think it's supposed to create social norms. And I think the news has been playing a huge part of creating social norms. I'll never forget when this pattern of television started to go on. You know, are the crayons your kids playing with causing them to have lead poisoning? News at 11. It's 12 o'clock in the afternoon. I got to wait another 10 hours before I find out if the crayon they're playing with is going to kill them. I mean, that sensationalism is crazy. Is your drinking water filled with toxins that can hurt your fish? News at 11. I'm like, wait, it's 11 o'clock now. Can you just tell me right now? Like, no, you got to tune in.
That's
their strategy, is that you watch them 20. Now it's to the point where there's news and media everywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, no matter where you are, almost no matter where you are in the world, not alone this, let alone this country. That is what they're doing. They're making people afraid. They're, more people are becoming homebodies. You go out, at least here in Virginia, you go out in the street. There's nobody out in the street. In New York, it's totally different, but there's nobody out here.
I happen to agree. I don't see any kids playing anymore in New York City the way that they used to. It's kind of sad.
It is.
It's incredibly
sad. It is very sad.
But, that's...
I was one of those parents that really, watched over their kids like that. Me, I did it for very different reasons. I wouldn't let my kids go and stay at their auntie's houses until they were able to speak and tell me and talk to me and have a conversation.
What? So they could feed you dirt? Is that what
No,
maybe,
no, no,
exactly.
No, no,
I mean, if you,
No. It's just that being a kid who was molested, I want my kid to be able to come back and tell me that this is what went down. This is what happened with you.
I completely understand.
But
if you were that worried about what was going on, maybe they shouldn't have been over there at all.
I really thought that anything would go on, especially at the aunt's house. But it's just that until my kids can speak
right.
Tell me.
Communicate.
If I should ask. Communicate, right. And if I should ask. And we've always had a pretty open relationship like that.
Well,
I'll tell you, even
with the media today and even with all the, for as far as sexual predators go and stuff like that, you can log on to the sexual offenders list and see who's been accused of been accused of sexually offending anybody. I've looked up on it, and there is somebody that lives right here on my block that is on it.
Really?
And it's amazing to me that people don't, either they're not using the resources that they have, or they just don't care, because this block is full of...
What should you be doing if there's a sexual predator on your block? What are you going to do if the predator lives on your block? Are you going to tell the predator to move? Or are you going to leave your kids in the house? What do you do?
No, but if your kids are going to be out playing and you live right next door to them, or I've actually seen kids seen this person go into other people's houses in the neighborhood on the block that have kids,
he's not supposed to be in a certain area, he has to register, but, what can you possibly say? I don't even know why we went into this direction. We went from Van Halen to Valerie Bertinelli to Mackenzie Phillips to this. Anyway.
Last comment on it, but I think I'd look at whatever the controlling offense is before
find out exactly right before you make any snap judgments.
Yeah, because if you got a 19-year-old kid who's going to be on there for life, and he was 17 and made out with a girl that's 15 years old,
right? And we've seen that. We've seen that in the news.
that with this particular gentleman, that was not the case.
Oh, okay.
I believe you. Anyway, okay, guys, it's Friday. Let's recap the day's events. Let me see. We started off with Newt Gingrich being lied on by CBS while he was in the room, and we played audio from that by CBS telling their blatant lies about Newt Gingrich and what he said about food stamps, as if there, for some odd reason, that he shouldn't be talking to the NAACP about blacks and food stamps. And here's what Newt actually said.
Now, there's no neighborhood I know of in America where if you went around and asked people, would you rather your children had food stamps or paychecks, you wouldn't end up with a majority saying they'd rather have a paycheck. And so I'm prepared, if the NAACP invites me, I'll go to their convention and talk about why the African-American community should demand paychecks and not be satisfied with food stamps.
That's right. Should demand paychecks and not be satisfied with food stamps. Now, he said they should demand them and not be satisfied. But hold on, Mary. Let me show you. You just heard what he said. This is what CBS says to him that he said.
Mr. Speaker, we just spoke to Representative Tim Scott of South Carolina a few moments ago, who knows you well. He said your comments were preposterous. I think what particularly bothered people was when you said that African Americans are satisfied with food stamps. Did you misspeak?
I said they shouldn't be.
Okay.
Right.
And he never, ever once.
But the
he never, ever once.
I understand what he did say and what he didn't say, but there are certain implications with what he did say. I mean, it's all about the way people perceive things. And there are certain implications.
There are certain implications, Mary,
with what he did say. Now, I didn't hear the entire interview, so I really don't know.
Well, the bottom line is that he said, if you go to any neighborhood I've ever been in, he said any neighborhood, not whites, not blacks, anybody. He said any neighborhood I've ever been in, if you ask them whether or not they want paychecks or food stamps, they overwhelmingly said paychecks. And he said, and if the NAACP asked me to come down to the convention, I will come down to the convention and I will tell them that the African Americans should demand paychecks over food stamps. And that's what he said. NAACP.
But in that statement, is he implying that African Americans are accepting?
He's saying that African Americans should demand paychecks and not have food stamps. But again, they tried to say and you heard her exactly there. Listen to what she says. She lies about what he
said. We just spoke to Representative Tim Scott of South Carolina a few moments ago, who knows you well. He said your comments were preposterous. I think what particularly bothered people was when you said that African Americans are satisfied with food stamps.
He never ever said that African Americans were satisfied with food stamps. He said
you're right. He never did say
that.
And I'm not saying that he did say that. I'm not saying that at all.
Thinking the argument is that CBS outright lied about what he said. But that's okay. Let's just get on to the next one. I just want to recap. Anyway, we also talked about the polyamory, the new family, which they're saying that now women are moving in and having romantic relationships with two men at the same time, heterosexual separate relationships. There are no threesomes, just one woman involved with one man, and when she doesn't want to be with him, she's with the other.
Teresa Greenan is in love with two men, and they're crazy about her.
Then you get something different from each of them.
Larry's a software developer, a musician, and nurturing. Scott's the creative type, a writer, and a born rebel.
I do love them. I love them both.
Teresa met Scott. They fell in love and moved in. Then Scott introduced Teresa to Larry. They fell in love, and Larry moved in.
We're all heterosexual.
Yes, they're all heterosexuals, and they're all living in sin. And they're saying that this is the new family.
Sounds like a pimp with a very good friend.
Well, yeah, I think they did call her a pimp in the on the video piece. Yeah. I saw about it a couple weeks ago. But I find it odd that what's his name, Scott? Introduced Larry into the fold.
Uh huh. No,
that's where I see the red flag.
The red flag is that you're going out on a date with your girlfriend. You see a guy walking down the street. You say, hey, that's my buddy Bill. Hey, Bill, I'd like you to meet my girlfriend. She's probably somebody you'd like to date.
Yeah, like to date for lack of a better word.
Right? She dates outside of their relationship.
And no, all three of them date outside of their current relationship. She has a man she sees on the side. They have girls that they see on the side. And apparently they bring those lovers over.
Pimps up and hoes down. It's crazy.
STD Central.
We also talked about why homosexuality is no different from a guy who's into midgets. I got a lot of agreement there. I didn't think I would. I thought I'd get a lot of opposition. But I guess this is one of those times where I explained it so well that it could not be perceived as sexist, homophobic, and completely out of touch or out of whack. So that one, no disagreement. Then we got into the gay marriage issue where, of course, I got no arguments. This is where I tell you, if you want to make somebody really, really relevant in the argument about gay marriage and about homosexuality, I'm the guy you need. If you are looking to really make an argument against these groups that are attacking Christianity, the sanctity of marriage, if you want to get some guy who can come and give a strong argument, you got to get me involved. So contact me. It's Reese on the Radio at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com or hit me up at reeseontheradio.com. I'm telling you, I'm the guy. I can win the war. I can start the argument and the whole fight. I'm absolutely positive. I can end the fight. And I'd like to say again, 100%, to the rebirth of one of my favorite rock groups back in the day, Van Halen. I cannot say that I'm one of their biggest fans because I know there are people out there who are a bigger fan than mine, but I was happy to see them or hear that they were at Cafe Watt in the West Village. In fact, let me read you the quote. They said that David Lee Roth got on stage and he said, "Welcome to Occupy Van Halen," and you know, pretty much said he was taking over the group, the band. And he got on stage and what did they perform? They performed "You Really Got Me" by the Kinks, and they did one of Van Halen's earlier hits, but they don't state which one it was. I'm almost certain they performed "Jump." They said they had Eddie on guitar, Alex on drums, Wolfgang, Eddie's son, was on bass, replacing the original member, Michael Anthony. And they said, well, they blazed through 11 songs, 10 of the band's greatest hits, including Running with the Devil, which I love that song. Panama.
Never even heard it.
Dance the Night Away. And one new song, She's the Woman, built on an infectious, cascading punk riff. Was it "They Do Not Play Tattoo," the first single from the new album scheduled to debut next Tuesday. So there you have it. Van Halen's got a new album coming out next Tuesday. But I will tell you, Running with the Devil, I should have put that up here. I love that song. But anyway, Van Halen is back. We're so happy to have
you. No Cabo Wabo?
No Cabo Wabo. That was not there. Oh, and then, hold on, I also have to mention, let me go back to this because this is important, because I want to make sure I get the report in full. If this is what, and I'm hoping that this is true, please let this be true. No, it's not saying that, but I was almost certain I heard that they were going to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but I don't think that story's here. Well, if that's true, I hope they are. Yeah, I said, though the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Oh, no, they are. They've been hitting these. They are Rock and Roll Hall of Famers. I apologize. They are Hall of Fame. So, nonetheless, I'm glad to see them back. They're not too old to get back together. And if they can still play, if the guys at the at Cafe Wa, I'm pretty sure that place was rocking.
Let me interrupt you real quick.
Go ahead.
Video from Cafe Wa?
Yes.
I'm looking at 4 of them online right now.
Oh, really? So there's video from them. So you had to be taken from a camera phone, right?
Probably not. Doesn't look like it, unless I have a pretty damn good camera phone.
Okay, good. So I'm looking up. I'm going to look at it before I go to bed.
YouTube.
Yep. All right. Yeah, I'll YouTube it. Okay, guys, the number is 347-308-8701. It's the first week of Reese on the Radio. We are done for this week. And as I promised, It's the Friday night dance party, and I have to play. I got to play us out with this one song. We've only got a little while to play it. We've only got a little while, but I have to play it. No, no, I won't play it. I'll play another song that's actually, I'm actually loving this song. It's a group that I played early in the week called the Silver Sun Pickups, and this is another song by them that I love. And you can't deny the sound of this song. It just screams at you. It's Reese on Radio. I love you guys. See you next week, Monday, 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on Radio.
Scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey,
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said, because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama?